When David Orr became head of the Environmental Studies program at Oberlin College, his first guest lecturer was William McDonough. Orr asked McDonough to challenge his students. McDonough opened his lecture by suggesting that in the same way a tree uses sunlight for energy, filters water with its root system, exchanges air, and is home to many species of animals, a building could work in tandem with nature. Shortly afterward, David Orr challenged McDonough to design such a building for Oberlin. And so today, in a tiny college town in Ohio, there's a small building to house the Environmental Studies Center, but it's one of the most technically advanced, environmentally friendly buildings around. Architect William McDonough.
The great thing about Oberlin is that it represents the very highest ambition for a building, from our perspective, in the country, perhaps the world. And so it doesn't matter how big it is. It's how big is its ambition. There is no higher ambition than the one that David Orr articulated.
Orr is respected for books he's written on the environment and is often invited to speak to conferences on environmental issues. He wanted the new building to live up to the ideals he's been talking about. He asked the college, the students, and the people of the town of Oberlin to come up with concepts to build a structure that would take little from the earth and give something back.
We let our imagination run wild in asking, how do you integrate all of these things together into some kind of coherent whole, a building that works well, that's light, airy, made out of non-toxic materials, that makes a statement about what we think the human presence in the world ought to be.
He raised money, including a large donation from a Cleveland-area family named Lewis, for whom the building is named, and he began gathering concepts, ideas, and experimental methods and materials to make the building. Orr says because of its experimental nature, the construction, operation, and maintenance of the building is just a starting place.
We wanted to use this as a building that in some ways is never finished. We will monitor it, we'll tweak it, we'll tune it, we'll play with it for a long time to see how the marriage of these different systems works and how it can work better in the future.
The Lewis Center uses all kinds of advanced energy-saving devices, such as geothermal wells to cut heating and cooling, lots of glass facing south to use the sun's energy, energy-efficient lighting that turns off and on as people come and go. It uses recycled steel, recyclable carpet, paints with low toxicity, and lots of experimental materials, such as acoustic panels in the auditorium that are made of compressed wheat straw. It uses a system that recycles water in the building and exchanges fresh air throughout the structure. Fans of green building find a lot to like in the Lewis Center, but one architecture critic calls the Lewis Center a dud of a place. Stephen Litt writes for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. He says the designers spent most of their time making it an environmentally friendly building and not enough on appearance.
It's a pleasant building. I think architecturally it's, in terms of its form, it's not that innovative. It looks like a typical modernist building could have been built any time in the 60s or 70s.
Litt says he was hoping for better quality in the design of the Lewis Center. He says he's more impressed with William McDonough's designs of larger places that also incorporate many environmentally advanced features.
Nevertheless, smaller experimental projects such as the Lewis Center are absolutely crucial in terms of testing materials and energy conservation techniques just to see what works. And if it works in Oberlin, you could see this multiplying. So it's a very exciting effort, and I think a very praiseworthy one.
William McDonough says, though, design quality is in the eye of the beholder. He calls the quality of the design delightful for what it accomplishes, not necessarily how it looks.
Because what is the future of quality? How can you call something that makes you sick or destroys the planet a quality design at this point in history?
Whether the appearance of McDonough's structure is pleasing to the architecture critics seems of little importance, because large companies are calling on McDonough to design their buildings and plants, and many times his firm is not asked to bid or submit proposals, but simply hired to do it. McDonough says it always starts with a design that blends with nature rather than works against it. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, this is Lester Graham.